Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're right in the middle of audio open lines and looking forward to, in about 25 minutes, playing Soundbite of the Week with you. We've got six soundbites lined up. All of them are good. It's hard to make a choice on this one, but I want you to make that choice here in 25 minutes when we play Soundbite of the Week here on Issues Etc. Until then, audio open lines, we're right in the middle of an interview with Catherine Jefford Shorey, the newly elected presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, the very first woman elected to represent that church in the Greater Anglican Communion. The Greater Anglican Communion is the problem for the Episcopal Church right at this point. They're on the wrong end of their disapproval, and they don't seem to care too much. Pretty typical of American Protestant denominations. They just don't seem to care what the rest of Christendom thinks. They just do as they please. And what they please to do, they please to ordain gay bishops, to perform same-sex marriages, and to elect a woman to be their bishop. It's audio open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You got to feel a little bit sorry for the guys who are there training to be pastors because, folks, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb in the church of the future. They're going to be some of the few guys who are not walking around saying this isn't your grandfather's church. They're going to be some of the few guys who, they'll be guys to be, that's going to make them unusual in the first place. They'll be men. And they'll be in a church where it will be quite common to find what's going on in the Episcopal Church USA everywhere. And for that reason, they'll stick out like a sore thumb, probably even more so because they're going to still be preaching Christ and Him crucified when everyone else is talking about social justice and including all the genders and the transgenders and the whatevers. They'll still be preaching Christ, and that will make them quite unusual in the church of the future. Thank God for it. For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. The logo for Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Before we go back to our audio, let's go to the phones and talk with Mark, who's calling from his car. Hi, Mark.
Pastor Todd.
Yes.
One of the things that struck me about this lady bishop when I was listening to her is that she sounds very utopian. And talking about God's reign rather than the gospel. And it seems to me that, you know, when the church gets united, I don't know, when they become utopian, they seem to want to unite to the political order to, bring about their version of the kingdom. And it usually, it seems to me, ends rather badly.
Terribly, yes, I agree, Mark. What you're witnessing here, you're very astute to pick up on this, is she is expressing kind of the end game of when the church puts itself in service of the culture. Now, this happens not only in very liberal denominations like the Episcopal Church USA, but it also happens in non-denominations and churches in every denomination where they decide that the culture is going to lead the way in what they practice, what they think, what they teach, what they believe. They let the culture lead the way. Now, the Episcopal Church USA has allowed the culture to lead the way for the better part of 50 years, especially for the last 30 years or so. Now, when the church puts itself in service of the culture, the church has to make itself useful. It has to justify its existence. I mean, after all, what's the use of keeping a big, cumbersome, expensive institution like the church around in service of the culture when most of what the church does or tries to do can be done much better in the private sector by other means in the culture? And when the church abandons the one thing that makes it unique in the world, that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ for sinners, it's got to find other ways of justifying its existence. That's where you get the social gospel. The social gospel is essentially the church saying, since we now are in service of the culture, let us make ourselves useful to you, O culture and society. We'll improve the world. So when she talks about the reign of God and things like that, you're hearing her right, Mark. She's talking about Episcopalians and the Episcopal Church as an institution, being useful to society by making the world a better place. Here's the problem. When the measure of the church's value is its ability to improve society, then the church needs to take responsibility when society isn't improved. When the measure of the church's value isn't the truth it proclaims, but its ability to make the world a better place, then the church will last only as long, that church will last only as long as it's able to do that. You know, she's lucky. She is the presiding bishop of a very affluent church, the Episcopal Church, although in terms of its actual size, is a small percentage of worldwide Anglicanism. In terms of its actual wealth, it's a large part of it. And so she can say these things and be quite utopian because she isn't the bishop in Kenya or Ethiopia or the Sudan. Such foolishness is only tolerated in America, where we, by virtue of our wealth, think we can actually make the world a better place, and think that there's something more important for the church to do than preach Christ and his cross. Back to this interview from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly with Jefford Shorey, the newly elected bishop of the Episcopal Church USA.
And what about for gay and lesbian members of the church who are concerned that maybe there is a backing away, that maybe they're being in some way called to make sacrifices for the sake of unity that aren't just for a church that's emphasizing justice? How are you? What do you hope they hear from this?
The same message, that there is room for them at this table as well, that God calls all of us to this bountiful table to share in the riches of creation that were given for all.
There have been some pretty pointed statements publicly from some of the conservative bishops and other leaders of that wing of the church, really raising questions about whether indeed everybody can stay at the table, and whether this is a time when that is no longer possible. Do you feel that reconciliation is still possible, and what will you do to try to make that happen?
Reconciliation is always possible. The Christian faith is about the eternity of hope. Once we give up hope, I think we cease to become active, engaged Christians. If we have no hope, we have repudiated the basis of our faith. There is always the possibility of reconciliation, resurrection, renewal. And once we lose a sense of that in a very deep way, we have challenged the very foundations of our faith. If the resurrection, the reconciliation may come beyond the grave, but we insist that it is always possible.
Talk about that transition, oceanographer turned bishop. What led to that?
Well, I knew I was supposed to go fishing, and it took me a while to figure out just what for.
Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this response. You're going to hear how she became a pastor. All right? Now, she has not been a pastor for her whole career. She was an oceanographer before. Fine and good. She's really only been a priest in the Episcopal Church USA, I believe, for no more than a decade, and she's been a bishop for just a couple of years. There is something in the Bible, I can't remember where it is, about not quickly laying hands on certain people, but we're not talking about the Bible, we're talking about the Episcopal Church USA. So, listen carefully to the story of how, and I want you to listen very carefully to this story, about how she became a pastor and what convinced her that she ought to be a pastor. By the way, it wasn't someone walking up to her and saying, hey, you know what? We'd like you to be our pastor. Listen, here's the story.
Well, I knew I was supposed to go fishing, and it took me a while to figure out just what for. Christians often talk about being sent to fish for people, that the gospel is about drawing all people into the reign of God. When it became apparent that I was not going to be able to continue to be an active oceanographer, that if I wanted to continue in the field, it was going to be as a grants writer and hustling grant money, right at the very same time, three people in my congregation asked me if I'd ever thought about being a priest. Just out of the blue. Seemed absurd, seemed unfitting to the gifts that I recognized at the time, but I went and spoke at great length with a priest in that congregation and came to the conclusion that at least the time wasn't right. But 5 years later, I was asked to preach on a Sunday morning when he wasn't going to be there, a new rector. And that experience and the response I had to that experience finally let me say yes. And I was in seminary the next fall.
All right, how did it happen? She was asked to preach. She's just hanging out, ex-oceanographer. Yes, some people had talked to her about being a pastor, but she didn't think the time was right. And then one Sunday, when the rector was out of town, doing whatever rectors do when they're out of town, she was asked to preach. And the next spring, she was in the seminary. Yeah, we're going to be drawing straws this week because next week pastor's going to be out of town. We'll just let whoever gets the shortest straw get in the pulpit. Now, the reason I want you to listen so carefully to this is that she was a member of a church that has no qualms whatsoever about ordaining women. And therefore, they really had no qualms about letting a woman stand in the pulpit and preach. It's very odd. There are denominations, by the way, where they don't believe in the ordination of women, but they still, for some reason, have no qualms about letting a woman preach. You got to be really careful about the can of worms you may open with that. You might end up with a Catherine Jeffords Shorey on your hands.
And as she asked, just describe some of your emotions on Sunday. How, you know, what gamut did they run?
It was a long and challenging day to sit waiting, to recognize that this election might possibly call me into this office. I think we were all surprised, all of us.
I have a personal question for you. Just a lot of people have different practices to maintain their own spiritual spark, you know, and to maintain that. And I'm just wondering if you'd be willing to share, you know, what's most meaningful to you? How do you get your best connection with God?
I've always found a great sense of spirituality in the outdoors. I ground myself as a creature in the midst of the natural created order. And taking Sabbath time is exceedingly important to me, taking time away. And I bring all of those together in seeking solitude in the wilderness. The wilderness is a place of great gifts. It may be threatening to some people. It ought to be threatening, I think, in some important way. But it is a place where I discover God and what God is calling me to do and be.
They're fast, but they're lazy and sleep in green meadows. Well, that's hunger in the jungle. Well, that's all right by me, yes. Well, I'm a tiger when I want love, but I'm a snake if we disagree. Just say a word and the boys will be right.
It's Audio Open Lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've just got about another 10 minutes here of Audio Open Lines. Then we're going to start Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play 6 soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. And right after that, we'll be opening the phone lines for you to vote for one of those 6 soundbites for your Soundbite of the Week. Until then, Audio Open Lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Interesting that when asked, she is now the presiding bishop of, if not one of the largest, certainly not the largest anymore, but one of the more prestigious and long-lived, I think it is the oldest Protestant denomination in the U.S., and asked where she finds her spiritual solace, where she finds spiritual energy. She says, out there, out of doors, that's where she finds God, outside. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. You know, I guess being the Bishop of Nevada up until this point, being outdoors might be, as she says, somewhat stimulating. I'm surprised. Maybe it's farther gone than I believe it is. But I'm surprised she didn't say, well, even for someone like this, I find spiritual solace in the Word of God. Or maybe on Sunday morning, or maybe in the sacraments. They still do have sacraments in the Episcopal Church, don't they? Let's go to the phones. Florence calls from Georgetown, California. Hi, Florence.
Hi, Pastor Todd. I had something when she was talking. It occurred to me, isn't it true that the ELCA is in full fellowship with the Episcopal Church?
Full blown, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so where the Episcopal Church is now gone to, the ELC is with them? Is that correct?
By default, yes. In fact, I've made this point several times, and I'm glad you bring it up. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, has a fellowship agreements with various church bodies, including the Episcopal Church USA. They had a hard time hammering this one out, Florence, because there was an issue of whether or not the Lutheran bishops would be recognized by the Episcopal bishops and whether they'd be able to recognize one another's bishops, because, of course, the Episcopal Church believes in an apostolic succession, and the Lutheran Church believes in an apostolic succession in a different way. Well, they got that hammered out. They managed to get past that in spite of, ironically, all of the many other differences that Lutherans and Episcopalians have between the two of them. Those didn't seem to matter. But the end game is, and you're quite right to point out, Florence, that a bishop in the Episcopal Church USA is a bishop in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They can trade bishops. They can trade pastors and priests. It makes no difference. Gene Robinson, for all intents and purposes, can act as a bishop. He can ordain, baptize, confirm in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. In other words, by default through this agreement, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has a gay bishop, and they also have Jefford Shorey as one of their bishops, too.
That's what I thought. The other thing that occurred to me while she was talking is there is this sense, I would call it arrogance, that really Christianity has not arrived until now. And that now that they're entering the reign of God, you know, this is a new one on me. I'm not familiar with this, but I just feel like there is this arrogance and of course, you know, what I would call lipstick theology. The only people that are really comfortable with it in the room are the ones wearing lipstick. And or you have to wear it by default. And since we have been in California, I've been made aware of the fact that there are many churches, in the Lutheran Church, in fact, that are much more liberal than what I'm used to. And so I have had to step up and speak out in ways that I never anticipated, because people will dismiss something when a man says it. But when the woman in the room says it, maybe they're forced to listen. And so I've gotten better at verbalizing conservative theology, not always because I want to, but because the women sometimes have just learned to dismiss the guys. It's, I don't know, it's just something that I've noticed. I don't know if it's synodical or if it's just California. That's been my personal experience.
Florence, thank you very much. Sad to say it's not just California. By the way, she just made Soundbite of the Week for next week. Let's remember Florence, please, as one of the callers who will get Soundbite of the Week for next week. We're going to get her in there one way or the other. Thank you very much for the call, Florence. It's Audio Open Lines 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727.
Reach into the ground as your elbows draw up. Feel the toning that's happening in your back, the strengthening that's happening in the legs, the stretch through the hip flexors. Bring your elbows toward your navel, everyone. Separate your hands. Step to plank pose on the breath in. Lower to chaturanga, where your torso hovers above the floor about a few inches. Upward dog on the breath in. into downward dog on the breath out.
Well, that's a yoga instructor leading several dozen participants who greeted the longest day of the year. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday, longest day of the year. I call it the beginning of summer. Others call it the summer solstice. They were greeting the longest day of the year by doing yoga in Times Square in New York City to celebrate the summer solstice. It's a yogathon, they were calling it. I guess that's long, prolonged periods of yoga-ing. Is that what they call it? I doubt it. I don't think they call it yoga-ing. Doing yoga? Yeah. You know, while I was out just reveling in the fact that I could walk my dog at 9:30 at night with there was still light in the sky, they were greeting the longest day of the year with the downward dog and the upward dog, whatever in the world those things are. Let's hear from a yogathon participant there in Times Square in New York.
I got into feeling rooted into the ground, and we went into that other space. Can you believe in Times Square doing yoga?
Can you? I guess anything's possible. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What other space was she talking about? Not being a devotee of yoga, it's hard to tell. I don't even know what downward dog is. Finally, here's Tim Tompkins. He's president of the Times Square Alliance. He says that the yogathon was part of a karmic battle between peace and the vitality, the action, and the noise of the city.
I think temporarily peace of mind won, but the forces of madness may push back very soon.
You know, they do have a video feed from Times Square, at least during most times of the year. You can see what's going on in Times Square. There's like a website you can go to. Are they still? They're not still doing yoga there, so I imagine peace has left. But for those brief shining moments on the summer solstice, when that few dozen participants there in Times Square were doing downward dog, probably at the same moment that Wilkin was at home walking his dog in the waning moments of the sunlight, there was peace. True karmic peace in the universe. I just feel blessed to have been a part of it. I didn't even know it. Although, I have to say that somewhere in my cosmic soul, I sensed it. I did. I think my dog sensed it. But she's far more in tune with the universe than I am. Probably because she's lower to the ground. It's audio open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 in just a minute. Soundbite of the week. We got 6 soundbites for you. And we want you to pick our soundbite of the week this week. LCMS World Relief they are concerned about peace in the world, but bringing the kind of peace that really makes a difference, the kind of peace that comes only through the preached message of Jesus Christ for sinners in whatever circumstances they find themselves, they turn their touch of mercy toward those in great need worldwide. LCMS World Relief underwrites issues, etc. Find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org. Or give them a call and earmark your donation to one of those many places in the world where they are bringing relief and a concern for both body and soul. 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief. When we come back, soundbite of the week.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We are fallen, sinful human beings. That means our capacity to reason is fallen and sinful as well. But what is the proper role of human reason in the ethical decisions we make? What's the relationship between God's clear word and the sometimes not-so-clear conclusions we draw from our fallen reason? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June is called Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns. For more information about this book, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find Reasonable Ethics right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Reasonable Ethics, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
Dinosaur bones, but they're not totally fossilized.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book The Great Dinosaur Mystery Solved. Ken, haven't dinosaur bones been found that indicate that dinosaurs roamed the Earth even recently?
Well, yes, and it's quite startling. You see, evolutionists declare that dinosaurs were supposed to have lived from 200 million years to 65 million years ago, and then they died out. Well, first some background. The fossil dinosaur bones are usually very hard, like rock, as minerals replace the bone. Of course, we know that when an animal dies, and if the processes for quick fossilization aren't present, then the bones eventually rot. But in Alaska, scientists found the bones of a duck-billed dinosaur, and these bones had not totally fossilized. They were really what we could call sort of fresh, if you like. They couldn't be millions of years old. Yet according to evolution theories and usual dating methods, these bones should be at least 70 million years old. This is the sort of startling evidence that's popping up all over the world, including an incredible T-Rex bone that still had soft tissue and blood vessels in it. All this goes against the idea of evolution. Maybe Jurassic Park kinds of dinosaurs have been around recently. How old are dinosaur bones? They can't be that old.
Our future museum near Cincinnati, Ohio, will answer many more questions about dinosaurs. For the moment, though, read Ken Ham's free booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs, when you visit our website, answersradio.com.
President Dean Wenthy on the future of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In every way, I can't believe the blessings that we have been given. As we Lutherans say, not with any merit or worthiness on our part, but by God's grace, He continues to lead talented, dedicated men and women to give their lives to Him and to the truth of the gospel. And I'd like to invite any of your listeners to come and visit us, but more than visit, worship with us, be my guest for a campus tour, and see how our life revolves around this wonderful truth that the incarnate Christ has brought to our world.
To accept Dr. Wenthy's invitation for an on-campus tour at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call 1-800-481-2155.
Do we worship a faraway God, a God that is hard to access, or is Jesus actually a lot closer to us than we think? We talked about the nearness of Jesus in the church earlier today on our Bible study program with Pastor Kevin Parviz. If you missed our broadcast, tune in tonight. We repeat the Bible study at 7:05. The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Kim Riddleberger of the White Horse Inn about the Antichrist. Also, Dr. Paul Vitz of New York University will talk with him about fatherhood and atheism Sunday night on the program, The Role of Women in the Church. Dr. Martin Noland of the Concordia Historical Institute will be our guest live 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis and on XM Satellite Radio, XM Channel 170. For those of you who listen on XM, that's Sunday night. Then Monday on the program, Dr. Richard Cole of Washington University will join us to talk about Missouri's stem cell initiative. It's time to play Soundbite of the Week. Now, if you've never played before, this is a great time to start. We've got six soundbites that we've collected from this week of Issues Etc. audio. We've got an emailer in here. Craig D'Onofrio actually makes two appearances. We've got Martin Noland. We've got someone speaking from the floor of the Presbyterian Church USA's General Assembly. We've got someone speaking from the General Assembly of the Episcopal Church USA. And we're going to play all six of them. Then we want you to pick your soundbite of the week. Now, you don't necessarily have to pick the one you agree with. There are a couple here that you probably profoundly disagree with. It could still be your soundbite of the week. What makes the list for us is whether or not it's something we want to hear again, whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not, something that makes good radio listening. That's why we call it a soundbite of the week. So you can choose something because you agree with it or disagree with it, you find it amusing, or perhaps it just strikes your fancy, you do want to hear it again, you want to tell someone that you heard it, that makes it your soundbite of the week. And all you got to do to vote is call us at 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you were listening just a few minutes ago, you saw how we picked it. We had a caller, Florence, from California. She called from Georgetown. And by the time her call was done, I was ready to say that will be a soundbite for next week. It'll go into that list of those from which you can choose and become one of our soundbites of the week. So it can be callers, it can be guests, it can be anything. And we have six for you today, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Internet listeners, you can play too, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number one. This is a delegate at the Episcopal General Assembly in Columbus, Ohio, earlier this week. She's saying, when she's talking about the full inclusion of homosexuals in their church body, that she doesn't want to be part of a crucifixion.
To ask me to hammer the nails into the hands and feet of my colleagues who are lesbian and gay, and I can't be a party to that.
All right, that's soundbite number one, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number two. This is actually an email from a listener, I believe in Carson City, Nevada, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, it was Chris in Carson City, Nevada, who emailed us to react to something. Often we hear the objection that if you preach too much Jesus, you'll get fat, lazy Christian. This is an email from Chris in Carson City, Nevada. And I think he's picking up on something I said before. People will accuse us, if you preach Jesus, you'll produce fat, lazy Christians. Chris writes this: you may produce fat, lazy Christians, but the key word is Christians. If you simply give people a list of do's, you'll produce slim, energetic Pharisees. At least that's my take, writes Chris. Your thoughts, Craig?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Chris, if you're in Pasadena, come visit us. We'd love to have you in our church full of sinners.
That's soundbite number two. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. That was an email, by the way, so remember our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Soundbite number three comes from a regular guest, Dr. Martin Noland of the Concordia Historical Institute, recalling a story, one of his experiences when he was a doctoral student at Union Theological Seminary, that highlighted for him the relationship between the ordination of women and the ordination of homosexuals.
When I was at my first year at Union Seminary, I saw the people that I soon recognized to be the leaders of the homosexual group on campus. And they would sit down with the women, and they would talk with them at lunchtime, become friends with them, and then they'd hit them with this question: do you believe in the ordination of women? And of course, all the women that were seminarians would say, yes, of course. And they said, well, that was obviously what Paul was, he was a misogynist. He was a man of his times, and he's just reflecting the cultural things. And they all agree to that. And they said, well, what about the prohibition against homosexuality? Then they had them. There was nothing that they could use in Scripture against that. Once you accept that argument that a prohibition or command of God is culturally limited or bound, it can be used on any passage in the Scripture.
All right, that's our soundbite number three for soundbite of the week. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Best callers and emailers will get an Issues Etc. travel mug. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we've got three more to play, so just hold on for a second. The next one, soundbite number four, comes from a little interchange between Pastor Craig D'Onofrio and myself yesterday, comparing our social lives.
Todd, ask me what I did last night.
All right, what did you do? You living out in Pasadena, California, much more exciting place.
I'm in L.A. I went and watched masked Mexican midget wrestling.
No.
I did. It was a glorious thing. It was so wrong, it was right.
I'm just stunned at how my life pales in comparison to yours, Craig.
Yes, you know, someday you may grow up to be like me, if you're lucky.
That's true. It's true. All right, so while I am walking my dog in the cool of the evening, unperturbed by anything, in the little town of Waterloo, Illinois, Craig D'Onofrio is out there in L.A. watching masked Mexican midget wrestling. Can't think of a bigger contrast. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number five. This, I will simply say, is the liberal mantra, the Christian liberal mantra, whenever doctrine comes up. It comes from the floor of the Presbyterian Church USA's General Assembly.
It's starting to affect the mission. It's starting to affect what we do for our youth. It's starting to affect evangelism. It's killing us.
All right. That's soundbite number five. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And since Craig was on such a roll yesterday, we thought we'd give soundbite number six to Pastor D'Onofrio again, talking about the finished work of Christ. Here's soundbite number six.
It is a tremendous thing and a tremendous relief, being one who never understood this growing up. The done-didness of it all, as Nagel likes to say, but the fact that it is done for me, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to fear God's wrath. I don't have to fear being left behind. I don't have to fear that I didn't make my decision sincerely enough. I don't have to fear any of that because Jesus has done everything necessary for me to go to heaven, and I can rest.
Those are our sound bites of the week, all six of them. Which is your soundbite of the week? Let's play soundbite of the week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The phone lines, it's Thursday. The phone lines are wide open for your vote for soundbite of the week. When you call, make sure you're ready to say why it's your soundbite of the week. There's no right answer, no wrong answer. It's just which soundbite you stuck out in your mind as our soundbite of the week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And you can also email us with your vote. That's not the email address. That's the phone number. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org. I knew we kept Buzz in here for some reason, so we could remember our and plus he presses a lot of buttons and makes things happen.
Next week I'll probably sing the soundbite of the week jingle, right?
Hey, if you can come up with the soundbite of the week jingle, we might even give you royalties. Is it soundbite number one, the Episcopal delegate comparing excluding homosexuals from the pastoral ministry to a crucifixion? Is it soundbite number two, our emailer Chris from Carson City, Nevada, saying that, look, if you preach a bunch of do's and don'ts, you won't even get Christians, fat or lazy. You'll just get lean and energetic Pharisees. Is it soundbite number three, Dr. Martin Noland, on the relationship between the ordination of women and the ordination of homosexuals? Is it soundbite number four, the comparison of Pastor Wilkin and Pastor D'Onofrio's respective social lives? Is it soundbite number five, the liberal mantra, whenever doctrine comes up, it's destroying the mission of the church? Or is it soundbite number six, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio on the finished work of Jesus Christ? We're giving away an Issues Etc. travel mug to the best players today during soundbite of the week. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Up first for soundbite of the week, Kathy calls from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would say it's number six because that's where when I, through listening to your radio station and listening to your program, was so relieved to find out that these things had been done for me and I didn't have to do the decision right and I didn't have to. People who have grown up with that blessing all their life may not appreciate it the way someone who hasn't. And so I would say it's soundbite number six.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much. Boy, I tell you what, that really reflects the sentiments of a lot of listeners. Craig is a good guest because he spent the better part of his years as a Christian never really being sure whether he'd done enough, always being pointed back to what he'd done. And it was a real revelation, obviously a real comfort to him, to find out that Christ had already done everything. She votes for soundbite number six, Craig D'Onofrio on the finished work of Christ. We're playing soundbite of the week this Thursday, June the 22nd. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address issues etc@kfuo.org. Gene's waiting on the line in St. Louis. Hi, Gene.
Hi. I don't have a big, long description of it. It just struck me, and I like number three because I'm glad that she stood up for what she feels is right, you know, and is true to her her conscience and true to Jesus.
Which one was that again?
Number three.
All right, well, thank you very much, Jean. I'm not exactly sure. I think she was voting for Dr. Martin Nolan on the relationship between the ordination of women and the ordination of homosexuals. But there we go. One vote for Dr. Martin Nolan, that's soundbite number three, and one vote for Pastor Craig D'Onofrio on the finished work of Christ. Which is your soundbite of the week? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have here's an email from someone familiar to us. Chris from Carson City, Nevada says, I vote for myself. And Chris sent that email voting. Is Chris a guy or a girl? I don't know. Yes, guy. Chris voted for himself even before we'd finished playing all the sound bites. Come on, Chris. You hadn't even heard them all yet. But, hey, he made the list, so he can vote for whoever he wants to. That's one vote for the emailer, Chris, one vote for Dr. Martin Nolan, and one vote for soundbite number six, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, on the finished work of Christ. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from his car, here's Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hey, I would vote for the individual that was on the presbytery floor talking about how this is destroying the church, because he's absolutely right. Every time it comes up, the Presbyterian Church USA loses more membership.
Well,
so it is destroying the church.
Well, you're right. You agree, but not for the reason that the speaker there at the Presbyterian Church agreed. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call, Rob. Yes. It's true that when you want to stand up for the truth, if the rest of the church is deciding that it wants to abandon the truth, when a church abandons the truth, it's never good for anything, not evangelism, not for youth, not for missions. It's not the discussion of doctrine that harms those things. It's when the church abandons true doctrine that those things are harmed. Thanks a lot, Rob. So there's one vote for the liberal mantra whenever doctrine comes up. There's one vote for Dr. Martin Noland. There's one for emailer Chris on creating fat and lazy Christians or thin and energetic Pharisees. And there's one on the finished work of Christ by Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. Let's see what Jim has to say. He's calling from his car. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I'm just going to comment on number two, and I guess, you know, you can put me down for that, but in reality, she's really showing her lack of love toward the homosexual by not telling them what God says about her sin, and using an excuse she doesn't want to nail them to the cross. I guess she's really burning up.
All right, Jim, you're getting some terrible breakup, probably due to our weather, and we had to let you go. But I think he was voting for soundbite number one, actually, when he was talking about the Episcopal delegate who said they just couldn't bring themselves to crucify their gay and lesbian fellows by not allowing them to be ordained or married in the Episcopal Church USA. So that's soundbite number one. So far, we have one vote for each soundbite, with the exception of the comparison of Wilkin and D'Onofrio's social lives. That's the one you're going to vote for, Buzz. I'll put one down there. So there's one vote for each one of our soundbites. Somebody's going to have to break the tie. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All six of our sound bites has one vote. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's play them all again. Here's soundbite number one from an Episcopal delegate on the issue of homosexuality.
To ask me to hammer the nails into the hands and feet of my colleagues who are lesbian and gay, and I can't be a party to that.
Here's soundbite number two. This one comes from Chris in Carson City, Nevada. Already voted for himself, commenting on what produces Christians, what produces Pharisees. This is an email from Chris in Carson City, Nevada. I think he's picking up on something I said before. People will accuse us, if you preach Jesus, you'll produce fat, lazy Christians. Chris writes this: you may produce fat, lazy Christians, but the key word is Christians. If you simply give people a list of do's, you'll produce slim, energetic Pharisees. At least that's my take, writes Chris. Your thoughts, Craig?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Chris, if you're in Pasadena, come visit us. We'd love to have you in our church full of sinners.
Chris, you might want to consider that an open invitation to visit Pastor D'Onofrio's church. He might even be willing to take you out for some masked Mexican midget wrestling. It seems to be one of his avocations I mean, that would be worth the trip to Pasadena in any event. Here's soundbite number three from Dr. Martin Noland on the relationship between the ordination of women and homosexuals.
When I was at my first year at Union Seminary, I saw the people that I soon recognized to be the leaders of the homosexual group on campus. And they would sit down with the women, and they would talk with them at lunchtime, become friends with them, and then they'd hit them with this question, do you believe in the ordination of women? And of course, all the women that were seminarians would say, yes, of course. And they said, well, that was obviously what Paul was, you know, he was a misogynist, he was a man of his times, and he's just reflecting the cultural things. And they all agree to that, and they said, well, what about the prohibition against homosexuality? Then they had them. There was nothing that they could use in Scripture against that. Once you accept that argument that a prohibition or command of God is culturally limited or bound, it can be used on any passage in the Scripture.
That's soundbite number three, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's got one vote, like all the other soundbites. Is it your soundbite of the week? Here's soundbite number four, a comparison of Wilkin and D'Onofrio's social lives.
Todd, ask me what I did last night.
All right, what did you do? You're living out in Pasadena, California. Much more exciting place.
I'm in L.A. I went and watched mass Mexican midget wrestling.
No.
I did. It was a glorious thing. It was so wrong, it was right.
I'm just stunned at how my life pales in comparison to yours, Craig.
Yes, you know, someday you may grow up to be like me. If you're lucky.
That's true. It's true. I don't know if I want to grow up that much, you know, where you actually enjoy masked Mexican midget wrestling. Although I would like to see it at least once in my life. Maybe on our next trip out to the West Coast. Yeah. We'll have to put that on the calendar. Here's soundbite number five. It's the liberal mantra, liberal Christian mantra. Whenever doctrine comes up, this is always the warning we hear.
It's starting to affect the mission. It's starting to affect what we do for our youth. It's starting to affect evangelism. It's killing us.
And here's soundbite number six, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio again, talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ.
It is a tremendous thing and a tremendous relief, being one who never understood this growing up. The done-didness of it all, as Nagel likes to say. But the fact that it is done for me, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to fear God's wrath. I don't have to fear being left behind. I don't have to fear that I didn't make my decision sincerely enough. I don't have to fear any of that because Jesus has done everything necessary for me to go to heaven, and I can rest.
5 minutes left for your phone calls, your email, your votes for Soundbite of the Week here on Issues, Etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address. You can vote that way, too. IssuesETC@KFUO.org, IssuesETC@KFUO.org. Now, whenever we're putting these together, there's always one that sticks out of my mind. It's not a real complicated process when we put them together. We just sometimes walk in on Thursday and say, should we do Soundbite of the Week today? Yes. Well, okay. What do you think would be a good one? And then we start going through the conversations we've had that week and picking out this and that and the other thing. We knew right away that we had to have Craig D'Onofrio's soundbite, that's soundbite number six, on the finished work of Christ. We knew right away that we'd have to have this liberal mantra that always comes up whenever doctrine gets discussed. We knew that after not too many minutes of thinking about it, that we'd have to have Chris's email on producing thin, energetic Pharisees rather than fat, lazy Christians. And so this was not a difficult week to get Soundbite of the Week out of us. We don't know which one is your favorite Soundbite of the Week. It's a six-way tie, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and IssuesETC@KFUO.org. Ken calls from his car. Hi, Ken.
Todd, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Now, number six, I would have to agree with, but number five,
I'm going to have to vote for that one. Was that a man or a female?
It was a female. It was a Reverend Carpenter, Marge Carpenter of the Presbyterian Church USA, who has decided at long last that she doesn't want her church, she wants her church to compromise on homosexuality because she thinks it is hurting the mission of the church.
She is the reason, I mean, it just disgusts me that somebody would get up there and be that emotional and saying that. If it was a man, I would have been really, really upset. But
all right.
I don't know. I just, man, it's just people that are in positions of authority like that, acting like that in front of a group of people, should be ashamed of themselves.
Thank you very much, Ken. Thanks for the call, and thanks for playing Soundbite of the Week. That would put Soundbite number 5 in the lead, the liberal mantra whenever doctrine comes up. While we wait for more of your phone calls, and we only have a few minutes left here in Soundbite of the Week, and for your email, I'd like to respond to this discussion. This is what, just put the email up there. Yeah, it's a discussion that we had earlier today with Pastor Eric Rotman on faith, and the email reads from CJ, does reading God's Word build and strengthen faith? Is it necessary to spend time in God's Word to build and strengthen faith in one's life? If you answer affirmatively to these questions, then distinguish from the speaker's experience of trying to build his faith during his teen years, is the distinction to be that he blamed his not receiving healing on the lack of faith instead of on the healing when not being in God's plan for him at the time? No, not really, to your second question there. Remember, the distinction Pastor Rotman made was between the myth of faith, which is that you have to do something to build your faith. That is, you exercising your faith, you doing something to build up your own faith, as opposed to recognizing that faith, saving faith, is a gift of God. And that God alone strengthens it. Now, he does strengthen it through his means of grace, through the preaching of the word. He strengthens it through the sacraments. But it's the distinction between that and me strengthening my faith and God strengthening my faith. Susanna in Goshen, Indiana writes this, the bite on doctrine, I am assuming she's saying soundbite number 5, there goes another vote. So much of American Christianity, she writes, over the last century has seemingly gone over the opposite deep end regarding the importance of being able to state some of the basic teachings of the faith. The loss of teaching doctrine has affected everything. At least two of the other bites clearly directly relate to this one, writes Susanna in Goshen, Indiana. Another emailer, Walt in Clinton, Maryland, writes this, soundbite number 5. That's 4 votes for soundbite number 5. How did I know that was going to happen? Doctrine is killing them. Sound doctrine always wins. Well, it doesn't always win, but it won't kill you. False doctrine will. You know what's destroying the church there in the Presbyterian Church USA or the Episcopal Church USA? Not doctrine. False doctrine. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. and for playing Soundbite of the Week. Number 5-1, by the way.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line. 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.